252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. President Biden pays a visit to California today, where he'll survey the mess left behind by a series of powerful storms.
The president did not wait for this trip to send help to Californians reeling from the latest storms.
We have over 500 FEMA and other federal personnel have already deployed to California to support response and recovery operations.
Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre saying the president will meet with California state and local officials to see what else the federal government can do to help recover from this month's torrential rain, wind, and mudslides. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Microsoft wielding the axe, slashing 10,000 jobs, almost 5% of its workforce. Announcement made in a regulatory filing. The company joining other tech companies that have scaled back. Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt says someone's ripped him off to the tune of almost $13 million that authorities are investigating. This is ABC News. We're about to find out if anyone will be charged in the deadly shooting on the New Mexico set of the Alec Baldwin movie Rust.
The district attorney's office in Santa Fe, New Mexico, says their decision on charges in the deadly Rust shooting will be announced Thursday at 9 a.m. local time. In a press release, they say it'll come in the form of a statement with no news conference or public appearance by the DA. The release doesn't indicate which way things might go, but says the announcement will be a solemn occasion. It's possible we could see charges if the DA finds there was negligence on the part of producers, the film's weapons experts, or even star Alec Baldwin, who fired the gun that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins in October of 2021. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
New Zealand will be getting a new prime minister, Jacinda Ardern, announcing her last day in office will be February 7th. Inductees into the Songwriters Hall of Fame announced, among them Snoop Dogg, Gloria Estefan, Jeff Lynne of ELO fame, and Sade. The inductions June 15th in New York City. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track, no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah, at aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. Get thee over to the Dean's Report. DeanObidala.substack.com is the website. And, of course, DeanOfRadio.com will get you all things Dean Obidala. Dean, my colleague on and buddy on SiriusXM Progress, Channel 127 right here, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. He's also a columnist with CNN and a contributor with The New Republic. And he's got an amazing new piece out over at that Substack site I was telling you about. And just by coincidence, he's on the line with us. Dean, welcome back.
Thanks very much. I was inspired by you to do a Substack newsletter. I'm not kidding, because I was doing things on MailChimp, and it's a different type of platform. It's more for Ian Copper's marketing. And I kept getting your emails. I'm like, why am I not on Substack? So over the holidays, that's when I went over to Substack. I'm there now, and I appreciate it. You've recommended my newsletter, and I've recommended your page as well on Substack. So, and your stuff is great.
Well,
everyone should subscribe.
Thank you. So tell me about Jim Jordan. You just peeled the bark off of this guy in this piece. It's titled "Jim Jordan Shouldn't Be the Chair of the House Judiciary Committee. He should be a defendant in a criminal trial for his role in attempting to overturn the 2020 election." Why?
It's that simple, Tom. Why? We all know. Everyone listening to your show is smart. They know the why of all this. Look, Jim, first of all, Republicans picked 11 of the 17 House committees are election deniers. But Jim Jordan is far more than election denier. He didn't just vote not to certify the results. He was an active part of the conspiracy to defraud the United States and the conspiracy to obstruct Congress. And those are two of the four crimes the January 6th committee has referred to the Department of Justice to prosecute Donald Trump. What I mean by that, Tom, is the January 6th committee, people go look, it's like page 140. You want to check it out, it's free online. You can read that page, those pages of the report. Jim Jordan is laid out as a significant player in the effort to overturn the election. That's the language of the January 6th committee. This guy not only traveled to other states to spew lies about the election, he was involved in the planning. He led a conference call on January 2nd, just days before the attack, laid out in the January 6th report with members of Congress and Trump on how to stop the January 6th certification. He then had a phone call with Trump afterwards, one-on-one for 18 minutes. Days later, he's doing more, texting Mark Meadows and speaking to members of Congress. The January 6th committee talks about trying to delay or overturn the election results. In no other country does this guy walk free. I mean, it's remarkable Donald Trump walks free. This is a man who is a co-conspirator in two of the four crimes the January 6th committee has laid out. There's no doubt. I said there's a lawyer. He's done everything for conspiracy. They've agreed on a goal that was illegal, overturn the election. And he took overt acts in furtherance of that illegal goal. That's the definition of criminal conspiracy. It is an injustice that Merrick Garland has not even examined people like Jim Jordan. I have to say that. And that's why Jim Jordan should literally be a defendant right now with Donald Trump in a criminal conspiracy trial. But then again, Donald Trump isn't charged for anything, and we're 2 years, 11 days since January 6th, because I count it every day.
Yeah, we're talking with Dean Obidala. Dean, why do you think it is that Garland has not put Jim Jordan in front of a grand jury?
Well, if he's a target, he won't, technically, if he's truly a target. But why is Merrick Garland waited 2 years and 11 days and we still don't have any charges? Why did he wait almost 2 years from January 6th to appoint a special counsel? He got sworn in March of 2021, but he knew as soon as he got sworn in, Merrick Garland, that Donald Trump was going to run again in 2024. He understood the political dynamic. At that point, I was actually calling for him for a special counsel then, because everything you read about Merrick Garland, he's an institutionalist. And the last thing he wants to do is charge a former president. And I get that. And I actually respect that. And the choice at the time, a year and a half ago, would have been pick then a special counsel. Now we'd have charges and Trump's trial would be coming up. So, you know, Merrick Garland, he's got his Federalist buddies. I mean, there's no disputing that. He is a moderate. He's an institutionalist. Whatever you want to say, he doesn't have what it takes to hold a former president accountable. It's never happened before in American history, and Merrick Garland's just not that person who's going to do it. And that's why, a different time, Merrick Garland would have been a great AG. Just the wrong time for him. He's not a bad person. I don't hate the guy. Just the wrong AG at this time.
Yeah, it seems to me sometimes that, you know, Democrats are not just bringing a knife to a gunfight. They're bringing a ping pong paddle. It just blows my mind. But, you know, as an attorney, what could be done outside of Merrick Garland? I mean, you know, it's you always hear about, you know, lawsuits being launched by people. I mean, couldn't any American sue Jim Jordan for participating in a conspiracy to deprive us of our democracy?
I think you have a great case under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which could ban him from the ballot going forward. And that's not a pipe dream. I wrote about it for MSNBC. I write for everywhere now at this point. Write? I wrote an article a few months ago when in New Mexico, a judge there did a great analysis of someone who went on January 6th, was part of the attack, was convicted of a crime, and he was an elected official, a Republican. And after like a three-day trial, having historians on testify what insurrection meant under the 14th Amendment, Section 3, to ban someone, found this person had violated that and removed them from office and banned them from ever being on the ballot again. And that's being appealed. But that case is a great template. And I think people in Ohio, especially in Jim Jordan's district, should talk to people there. You're going to find organizations. In fact, that organization, I think Free Speech, are the ones that brought the lawsuit. They are looking forward to doing this. They did it against Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's important.
They failed, though, when they did it against Marjorie Taylor Greene.
But Jim Jordan was a member of Congress at the time. The Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is you've got to be a member of Congress or the government at the time of your actions to support an insurrection. Marjorie Taylor Greene was not sworn in until January 3rd of 2021. So she was only a member of government for 3 days. How much of a role did she really play? Jim Jordan was a longtime member of Congress. What the January 6th committee lays out, he was a repeated and regular part of the conspiracy to overturn our election. If this Section 3 14th Amendment applies to anyone, it applies to Donald Trump and applies to Jim Jordan. Maybe some others, but certainly Jim Jordan, it should. And I hope in Ohio somebody sues him and let him go defend himself in court. Let him have to testify under oath to defend himself the way Marjorie Taylor Greene did.
You know, if he was a Democrat, there would be 16 right-wing Republican billionaires lined up ready to fund that lawsuit and take it all the way to the Supreme Court and everything else.
Imagine a Democratic president did exactly what Donald Trump did after January 6th. Does anyone think we'd be 2 years and 11 days later and a Republican attorney general would have not charged that Democratic president? If he had not charged that Democratic former president, Republicans would have driven him out of office. Fox News would have driven him out of office. Instead, we have Democrats who want to let the process play out, and I'm for that. I get it's not an episode of Law and Order, but folks, we're 2 years and 11 days from January 6th. They could have put their resources in and charged Trump within a year and a half. You could have made the case by then. There's no doubt about it. And I've talked to former federal prosecutors who've told me that very thing. So I defer to them. They're former federal prosecutors. I was never a former federal prosecutor. The case could have been made by now. Merrick Garland just did not make it a priority until really Cassidy Hutchinson testified last summer. That, the reporting shows, that really made the investigation get stepped up in DOJ. And that's a failure by DOJ, by Merrick Garland, not
I'm with you. We're talking with Dean Obidala, my colleague and buddy with right here on Sirius XM, Channel 127 Progress. He's on the air every night, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And if you haven't caught his show, be sure to do so. Dean, give us an overview of the spectrum of complicity, criminal and otherwise, between people like Jim Jordan, who was actively involved in planning January 6th, or at least you're asserting that, I believe, and sure. and interacting with Donald Trump, you know, through that period of time, versus, you know, some random congressperson who didn't, you know, was not in on the whole thing, you know, like Tuberville and all these other guys, but did vote to say, no, we're not going to certify Joe Biden. I mean, that's the spectrum. Where on that spectrum do different levels of liability occur, and where might people be vulnerable on that spectrum?
For someone who simply voted not to certify the election results, and they did that after the actual violent attack, I can't see any criminality.
Right.
Or even if they made a few statements about, I think there's fraud or there's irregularities, I don't see any criminality. You have to have, for a conspiracy, overt actions in furtherance of the criminal goal. Certainly, Jim Jordan, definitely. I mean, I think that arguably there's a good faith basis to criminally investigate this guy, and I wish DOJ would do that. Some of the others, Scott Perry referring, some of a congressman referring, you know, I think it was John Eastman or others with some theories. It might not be enough because you have to really be actively involved. From the January 6th report, I'm telling you, I don't think there's anyone who was a member of Congress as involved. Apart from Congress, you have Mark Meadows. His fingerprints are everywhere. Mm. You have John Eastman, who should be charged by now. Rudy Giuliani. You have others of that ilk in that circle who certainly should be charged. Of members of Congress, Jim Jordan really stands out. And to remind people, Jim Jordan refused to testify in response to the January 6th committee's subpoena. And the January 6th committee, they closed their investigation, referring him to the Ethics Committee, which now the Republicans have gutted. They also referred Kevin McCarthy. To remind people, Kevin McCarthy, while not involved in the planning of January 6th, there's no evidence of that, he blew off the January 6th committee subpoena as well. So I hope in the House Judiciary Committee, where he is chair, Jim Jordan, that people treat his subpoenas the same way he treated the January 6th committee subpoena, and blow it off and let them go to court. And I'm not recommending the average person, you should listen to a subpoena. But for some people who have the wherewithal, maybe they can treat Jim Jordan the way he treated.
But there have been people who've gone to prison for defying congressional subpoenas.
Yeah, it's Steve Bannon, who was convicted of that, and he's out, you know, helping a coup in Brazil. We're looking at Brazil. They opened up a formal investigation into Bolsonaro within 8 or 9 days afterward. Yep. The Supreme Court approved that. And they arrested 1,200 people within a matter of days, including government officials, suspending them. The message sent from that, Tom, is if you attempt a coup and end our democracy, we're going to take it really serious. We're going to charge you, investigate you, freeze your assets, what they want to do to Bolsonaro now.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, what's the message? 2 years and 11 days later, not one charge, nothing.
Yeah.
That message is either what Trump did wasn't a crime or what he did wasn't that big of a deal. And I think in both cases, that's false. I think it was a crime. I think it's January 6th committee lays out four crimes. Donald Trump should be charged. And Merrick Garland, he has failed us in this regard. In other areas, he might be doing a good job, but in this area, he's failed us.
Yeah, I'm with you. The great Dino Abidala, SiriusXM, 6 to 9 p.m. Check out dinoabidala.substack.com and deanofradio.com.
Thanks, Tom.
Find all about all. You're welcome, Dean. Thanks so much for dropping by. Great having you with us.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So, crazy alert. The Republicans are now saying that there's aborted fetuses in our food supply. Honest to God, I got to tell you about this. Stick around. And welcome.
Come on. You watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then, if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-673-1574. 800-673-1574. 800-673-1574. That's 800-673-1574.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and Paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, how big business destroyed the American dream. And next spring, you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light, and because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Finding a gift he'll actually like can feel impossible. Luckily, ManCrates.com is perfect for his birthday, anniversary, or any occasion. ManCrates.com has hundreds of totally unique gifts that he's going to love. One of my favorites from ManCrates is the hot sauce making kit, because I put hot sauce on everything. Or the whiskey appreciation crate with a personalized decanter, matching tumblers, ice sphere molds, and more. Or the Grillmaster crate featuring a brass knuckle meat tenderizer and cast iron smoker box. ManCrates.com packs his gift in unforgettable experiences, like sealed crates he gets to open with a crowbar. Personalization is free, and every gift comes with a full satisfaction guarantee. Use the code RADIO15, RADIO15, at ManCrates.com to save 15% on his perfect gift. That's right, 15% off when you just use the code RADIO15 at ManCrates.com. And welcome back. Oh my, so many weird things going on in so little time. Remember a week or so ago, there have been a number of things that the Republicans have gotten hysterical about. A week or so ago, it was some Republican legislator someplace wanted to pass a law saying that if an aborted fetus is still alive, then a doctor can't kill it. Well, A, aborted fetuses aren't alive. It's a thing that doesn't happen. And B, even if it did happen in the hypothetical, Once it's born, killing it is considered murder. So it's already illegal. But nonetheless, they wanted to pass this law because they wanted to basically imply that doctors were taking living, breathing, viable babies and executing them, which just does not happen in America. Now they got a new one. This is down in Texas. Senator Bob Hall of Texas. He's got to win our prize for idiot of the week. He has proposed a law saying that when foods contain aborted fetuses, they have to be labeled. Right. He says, this is a quote from him. He says, unfortunately, many Texans are unknowingly consuming products that either contain human fetal parts or were developed using human fetal parts. Right. So Huffington Post got a hold of this piece of legislation and his speech, and they reached out to the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, and said, tell us about food containing human tissue. And the FDA said, and I quote, there are no conditions under which the FDA would consider human fetal tissue to be safe or legal for human or animal consumption. Period. Full stop. End of debate. But Hall, he's hanging on it. He's sticking with it. He says, a well-informed consumer can make whatever choice they decide on purchasing a product so long as they have all the information on hand to make that choice. Right. Back in 2012, a Republican in Oklahoma tried a similar piece of legislation. You got to label the food products that have fetuses in them. That's cannibalism. We're not, we don't engage in cannibalism in the United States. It doesn't happen. Yeah, I mean, maybe occasionally you get somebody like John Wayne Gacy or somebody, but, Jeffrey Dahmer, we put them in prison. But we don't, sell their products at Kroger. Come on. I mean, this is just another attempt to get the word fetus in the headlines and grandstand on an issue and let all of these poor misinformed Republicans are going, oh, my God, really? Holy cow. I mean, when I look at the menu at McDonald's, it doesn't say fetuses on there. I don't get it. Is it in the pork and beans? I mean, can you imagine how confusing this must be to a Republican in Texas or Oklahoma or anywhere in the country? Incredible. Alrighty, 200 plus millionaires at Davos have said, tax us. I'll tell you about that after the break, and I will pick up your phone calls. So stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Helping you win the water cooler wars 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions sessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a pack rat. Join the pack rat family. Call pack rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, pack rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468.
A progressive.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. President Biden pays a visit to California today, where he'll survey the mess left behind by a series of powerful storms.
The president did not wait for this trip to send help to Californians reeling from the latest storms.
We have over 500 FEMA and other federal personnel have already deployed to California to support response and recovery operations.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre saying the president will meet with California state and local officials to see what else the federal government can do to help recover from this month's torrential rain, wind, and mudslides. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Microsoft wielding the axe, slashing 10,000 jobs, almost 5% of its workforce. Announcement made in a regulatory filing. The company joining other tech companies that have scaled back. Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt says someone's ripped him off to the tune of almost $13 million that authorities are investigating. This is ABC News.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The Rick Smith Show. Where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at tomhartman.com. Welcome back. So at Davos today, in addition to cinema and mansion high-fiving each other, 200 millionaires, more than 200 millionaires, actually, co-signed a letter, people from 13 countries, published an open letter yesterday calling on the world leaders there to raise their taxes, to raise the taxes on those very rich people. This is a group from these global millionaires. It was hand-delivered to the World Economic Forum to all of the attendees. They said, and I quote, "We are living in an age of extremes. Rising poverty and widening wealth inequality, the rise of anti-democratic nationalism, extreme weather and ecological decline, deep vulnerabilities in our shared social systems, and the shrinking opportunity for billions of ordinary people to earn a living wage. Why, in this age of multiple crises, do you continue to tolerate extreme wealth? The solution is plain for all to see," they write. "Tax the ultra-rich and do it now. It's simple. Common sense economics. It is an investment in our common good and a better future that we all deserve. And as millionaires, we want to make that investment." End of quote. This follows a study that came out Monday from Oxfam, Oxfam International, showing that the top 1% globally took in $26 trillion out of the $42 trillion in new wealth that has been created over the last 2 years, since 2020. So the world got $42 trillion richer, and $26 trillion of that $42 trillion went exclusively to the top 1%. And, you know, I mean, that's even more than all the rest that was grabbed by the bottom 99%. Abigail Disney, the granddaughter of Walt, a documentary film person, member of the Patriotic Millionaires. She's been a guest on this program. She's quite outspoken about this. She said, "I've been to Davos. I've sat in the same room. They talk about how they can make a difference. So I can say this with firsthand experience. Davos is a farce." Really? This is, you know, a multimillionaire, maybe a billionaire, I'm not sure, but very, very wealthy young woman. And she said, "Until Davos attendees start talking about taxing the rich, the entire gathering will remain a very public example of how out of touch they really are." Morris Pearl, who has also been a guest on this program many times, he was the co-founder of Patriotic Millionaires, he said, quote, "The World Economic Forum meeting in Davos has become largely irrelevant, little more than an exercise in self-congratulation for the world's elites to convince themselves that they're making a difference. They refuse to accept an obvious truth. The cause of inequality is the rich getting richer, and richer without paying taxes. If the world leaders and billionaires at Davos want the world to start taking them seriously, they need to earn that respect. That starts with taking inequality seriously and taxing the rich." And this, you know, from a guy who's very, very rich. So there you go. What are we going to do with this? Which also raises a question, and I'll pose this. I've mentioned this before on the program. I've never made money in the stock market. I've generally avoided the stock market most of my life. It's just not, you know, my thing, I guess. So I'm not wise about investing particularly. I mean, there's a lot of things I know a lot about. Investing is not one of them. But I'm wondering, you know, if you're in the market and you think that the Republicans are going to crash the economy, is it time to sell? And if so, are we seeing that signal? Are other people now bailing out of the market or getting ready to bail out of the market? Is, you know, I guess I need to read the Financial Times or something for this. But I'm looking for some sign that genuinely rich people in America are starting to take seriously this threat that the Republicans in the House of Representatives represent to our republic and to our economy. And, you know, so far I'm not seeing the evidence of it. But, you know, like I said, I'm not a sophisticated investor type. I can talk politics all day long and history and macroeconomics. But, you know, micro, not my thing. Anyhow, John in Chicago, let's pick up your calls. John in Chicago. Hey, John, thanks for listening to WCPT. What's up?
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say I don't think that the wealthy want stability for the people. They want money for themselves. Thomas Paine actually pointed out in his Common Sense that the idea that feudalism was a stable system was actually all an illusion. They didn't have the weapons or the capacity for mass destruction that we have today, but they were in constant wars and constant battles. And World War I was partially a disaster because they thought it would be like all the other wars, and they let it go into almost a society-destroying thing, which is why it was called the Last War, because no one would believe that they would do anything that destructive ever again.
Yeah.
And today, we have the financial crisis. We have Republicans causing multiple government shutdowns, always threatening to destroy the world economy whenever they get the House of Representatives. We had COVID, in which trillions of dollars went to the wealthy while most people suffered, and really it was one of the most destabilizing event. It was the most destabilizing event in my lifetime, but the system stayed the same, and the wealthy got wealthier, which creates a kind of a question of moral hazard, where if they are not going to pay any price whenever anything goes badly, why would they prevent anything from going badly? You know, I also went to Marjorie Meriwether Post's mansion one time, and she was at Russia during the time of the Russian Revolution, and she got tons of Fabergé eggs for nothing because it was at a time when they didn't value money. So, I mean, part of it is, like you said before, we should watch what they're doing, because they may have the perception that they're going to benefit whatever happens, just as long as they know what goes down.
Yeah, I made this point yesterday. in my op-ed that historically, I mean, some of the largest fortunes in America were made or amplified dramatically in the Republican Great Depression of the 1930s, because it was a buying opportunity. If you had a lot of cash and, you know, the price of stocks were rock bottom, price of real estate was rock bottom, you know, people were being foreclosed left and right. I mean, there was another buying opportunity in 2008, 2009, when George W. Bush crashed the economy with the Bush crash. And that's when the hedge funds started getting into commercial and residential real estate in a big way, especially residential real estate. And, you know, that's still echoing to this day. I think that, you know, the genuinely rich, the morbidly rich, the seriously rich, I don't think that they're afraid of a stock market crash at all. I mean, you know, I published that piece on Daily Kos day before yesterday, and somebody came on and said, "Oh, the very rich will not tolerate the Republicans crashing the economy because they'd lose all their money in the stock market." And I'm like, "No, they won't. They'll see it coming. They'll bail out of the stock market. They'll put their, you know, they'll park their money in their money bins, and then once the market goes from 32,000 down to 16,000, they'll buy in." I mean, it's and ride it back up again, and I never assume that, you know, rich people are going to save us. Is the bottom line, John? Thank you. Excellent points, all. Alan in Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Alan, what's on your mind today?
I cannot believe that there's nothing that the citizens of this country can do. If you have senators and congresspeople who were complicit in trying to overthrow their government, and then they continue to sit on committees and write bills of the same government, and now some of them are actually running the committees to investigate them.
Yeah, Jim Jordan.
I don't get that.
This is the Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass, right? It's the backward telescope. This is the GOP when they have the power to govern. This is how they govern. They're telling us what they will do if we give them even more power, which is they will tear things down. They'll turn the whole world upside down. They'll, you know, up is down, right is wrong.
Is voting the only thing that the citizens do? Wait another 2 years for, you know, to see if we can get enough seats to get something done?
No.
Or we have, you know, is that the only thing we can do as citizens?
Alan, we need movement politics. We need people to involve themselves with movements. And there's a lot of great movements out there that have to do with, you know, they tend to be in niches, right? Like there's the environmental movement, there's the democracy movement, there's the Anti-Citizens United movement, there's all these, you know, racial justice movement. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, gay rights movement. There's all sorts of movements, and getting, if just, you know, a larger percentage, if just double the, you know, right now probably fewer than, I don't know, I'm just pulling numbers out of the air here, but I'm guessing probably fewer than 5 or 6% of Americans are involved in any kind of movement politics. And if you were to just double that number, the impact would be tremendous. This is what Donald Trump did. He created a movement. He created a white supremacy movement. Or he didn't create it. I mean, it predated him by centuries, but he brought it into the fore. He brought people to it.
Something needs to be done. I am with you.
Alan, thank you for the call. Amazing. Yeah, George in Chicago. Hey, George, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to respond briefly to the pro-Trump supporter that you had on about 45 or 50 minutes ago.
Yeah, John.
Okay. My point's a small one. Whether or not Donald Trump declassified the documents that are found to be in his possession, and whether he did it by ESP or through the proper procedures in writing, he still does not have the right to be in possession of them. The Presidential Records Act of 1977 says that all of those papers are the property of the federal government, we the people, and he's not entitled to have them in his possession when he leaves the White House. In addition, the folders themselves are documents, because any experienced intelligence professional can read all the various things that are printed on the cover and glean some insights into our intelligence procedures. Often people also make notes on those folders. So it's just as reprehensible for him to be in possession of those when the 77 Act says he cannot have them.
Right, and which is why Joe Biden's lawyers, as soon as they found these documents, immediately notified the National Archives, said, "We've got these documents. We shouldn't have them. We want to turn them over to you today." And which is the exact opposite of what Trump did. And I don't know. I can't understand why the media keeps ignoring this fact.
Well, here's a metaphor that I heard, and I wish I could remember the attorney's name so that I could credit him with this, to compare Biden and Trump in this matter. Said in Biden's case, it's like somebody walked too close to a table with a glass of milk on it, hit it with their hip as they were going by, and the glass of milk spilled into somebody's lap. That would be the equivalent of a civil tort. Maybe some damages might accrue.
Right, a tort
being an injury. In the case of Trump, the long list of violations included with his holding of these documents, including first lying about them, having them, and then refusing subpoenas, and finally having to give in to a search warrant, and then having his lawyer sign a paper that said, okay, you got everything and there's nothing left, and then you find there's more. Okay, this is equivalent to walking by the table, picking up the glass of milk and throwing it in somebody's face, which is a felony. Okay, right. It's assault and battery.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah, I said. So, I would add one thing to your list, George, and that is that at the very beginning of this process, Donald Trump intentionally took these documents and folders with him to Florida. He has said this, that he took them. He thought they would be, he said this yesterday, that he thought that they would be great mementos. And, you know, on other occasions, he said that he took them because he had declassified them or whatnot. So he's admitted on multiple occasions. Joe Biden, when he discovered that there were documents, you know, still floating around from his time as VP, he was horrified. He was like, holy cow, I don't know how those things got there. And I mean, you know, now, of course, the grand witch hunt will begin and we will find out how those things got there. But, you know, the difference is just night and day.
And the difference is intent.
Yep.
That is what is so crucial here.
Yep. Yep. Benign intent versus criminal intent. Is that how you'd phrase it, George?
Well, somebody overlooks something. There's no intent to steal there.
Right.
And in Trump's case, like you said, he did it on purpose.
There you go. George, thank you. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We'll be right back 48 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Be right back with more of your calls in just a moment.
Bills piling up? Temporary prescriptions not cutting it? When your pet has an unscratchable itch, dull coat, or fur loss, you do everything you can to help. But the truth is, these issues start with their food. Sometimes pets just need a little something to balance out their bowl. Dynovite nutritional supplements add essential nutrients to mealtime to support a healthy digestive tract, skin and coat, and immune system. Because when your pet is their healthiest self, they're also their happiest self.
We were at a loss until we tried Dynavite. After just a few weeks, Maggie stopped all the itching and shedding. She had a healthy, shiny coat. Just a huge relief for all of us, but especially Maggie.
We're so confident you'll see an improvement, we offer a 90-day money-back guarantee with your order at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus, special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Looking for a quiet, relaxing summer vacation to the quaint seaside villages and historic harbors of New England? Then let me introduce you to American Cruise Lines. Aboard their new fleet of small cruise ships, you will be transported to popular destinations like Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and Newport. In addition, that remarkable cruise will explore the scenic rivers and intimate ports along Maine's protected coastline. You'll marvel at the granite mountains of Acadia National Park, admire the classic schooners in Camden Harbor, and best of all, and this is so true of cruising and particularly true of American Cruise Lines, you'll be treated to authentic and not to mention delicious lobster bake on the shores of Maine and just extraordinary food throughout your entire journey. Throughout the all-inclusive journey, you can relax on your own private balcony, breathing in the ocean air and taking in the sights as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Simply request your free cruise guide today over at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. 53 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls. Robert in Philadelphia. Hey, Robert, what's up? Robert?
in Philadelphia, watching on YouTube. I got no Robert. Going once, going twice. Okay, Jake in Portland. Hey, Jake. What's up?
Yeah, hey, Tom. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I actually really like Soylent Green. Soylent Green's a really good movie.
It's been a long time.
I did want to... It's a good one. You should watch it. It's a little close to home, honestly. But I did want to bring up the actual specifics of it, which, you know, it's not aborted babies that they're putting in our food, but it is the human embryonic kidney cell, human embryonic kidney 293 cells, HEK293. It's a company based out of California. They use biotechnology. It's called Cinemex. And basically what they've partnered with, like Pepsi, Frito-Lay, all these massive food producers, and they use these kidney cells to detect and enhance flavors, is what the company says. And so it is a little interesting.
Jake,
because
I think you're reading too much on the internet. Maybe they are using something like that to I don't even know. Jake, thank you. I'll have to look into it. I appreciate the call. Suzanne in Dublin, Ohio. Hey, Suzanne, what's on your mind?
Yes, while I was on hold, I had other thoughts, and I'm trying to get them in congruent where they don't go off in different tangents. But about the morbidly rich.
Yes.
The morbidly rich, I think some, you know, there's a lot of different, they don't all think alike, just like no one group ever agrees on everything. But, you know, some of it is just they are insensitive because they've always had money. They don't know what it is to not have money. And they don't know what it's like for the average man to struggle to survive. Mm. And it reminds me of Marie Antoinette when she couldn't understand why they were rioting, you know, because they didn't have bread. Mm. And she said, well, give them cake.
Right.
And it reminds me of a quote in Howard Hughes' movie, The Aviator,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, you know, he's eating with the Hepburn family, and they made some comment that they were irritated with him because, or were condescending to him because he was talking about money, and they said, well, we don't care about money. And he got up and left the table, Howard Hughes, and said, well, the reason you don't care about money is because you've always had it.
Right.
But the reason that I... Yes, and but the thought that I first called with and my mind wandered as I was on hold was, I think another thing that goes on, I learned late in college was, oh, you're getting a heartbreak.
Yeah, sorry.
A population explosion from the beginning of mankind till 1995, that population within 150 years from that time was going to double on the earth.
Yeah, the numbers are breathtaking, Suzanne. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us. Tag, we're it, right? So get out there, get active, tag, you're it too. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the people around you. Stay safe.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Do you ever feel guilty about how much food waste you take out to the garbage? If the answer is yes, you may want to try Lomi. Lomi is an electronic composter that could make composting both easy and odor-free. Lomi is a countertop electric composter that turns scraps into dirt in under 4 hours with just the push of a button. There's no smell when it runs, and it's really quiet. The nutrient-rich dirt is functional in that it can be used for gardens or houseplants. This humanizes the product to a practical level. If you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just make cleanup after dinner that much easier, Lomi is perfect for you. Head to Lomi.com/orbit and use the promo code ORBIT to get $50 off your Lomi. That's $50 off when you head to Lomi.com/.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the...
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenberg.